Hey, everybody. Welcome back.
It's the Nathan and Gabe Show.
Episode 12.
12. Gaber, what's up, buddy?
Wow. I tried surfing.
That was awesome. I had so much fun with you.
Yeah.
I like to try to get as many people surfing as possible.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those things that it's just a lot better with friends.
Yeah. I probably wouldn't surf alone. It's for lack of experience.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of hairy out there. And I went to surf alone when I first started either.
Yeah.
And I don't even think I would have got started if it wasn't to have a bunch of friends that were surfers that knew what was up.
Because right.
It is one of those things. I mean, if you're not used to going out deep into the ocean, or even just into the ocean at all, mm-hmm. really, you can let your mind take over, and it really can freak you out.
You know what's weird is I found myself trying to freak myself out.
Really?
Yeah, a little bit, like being like, oh man, like I cannot touch the bottom. Like we're out here really deep. Like there was a point whenever it was... us three, so we went with Dr. Justin.
My buddy.
And it was us three, and we were out further than everybody was.
How did that make you feel?
I mean, it didn't make me feel, like, cooler that we were out further. I didn't at all feel like, oh, I'm better at surfing because I'm out further. I felt better being out far because I didn't have to worry about paddling back in.
Yeah, the waves, if I recall that day, because we've been doing a lot of surfing the last week,
mm-hmm.
But I think I remember the day, it was like pretty decent sized waves,
yeah.
right? And we had one time where we both got on the same wave right next to each other. We did a high five.
Yeah.
That's pretty fun.
And rode it all the way in, which is cool because I didn't think I was even going to be able to stand up on the board.
Yeah.
And it was a...
Well, you're an athlete, so you're able to... And you got good balance, good coordination.
Yeah, I took to it a little easier than I would have supposed. But you know what I'm kind of worried about? Is one time I hit golf balls. This is a different story, but I hit golf balls one time. First time I ever hit golf balls. I mean, I was just, like, just driving them so far, so straight. Just the most, like... beautiful natural golf swing you've ever seen.
Nice. Happy Gilmore.
It was just amazing. I couldn't believe it. The people I were with were like, you for sure golfed before. But then the next time I golfed, I like was slicing it and missing the ball and everything. But it was so weird. It was like I was just really good at it. So that's my fear with surfing. Today, when we get out there, that I'm just going to get chewed up bad because the first time I got lucky, I wasn't thinking a whole lot.
Yeah.
I was just letting my athleticism just kind of...
take you through
it. Yeah. Opposed to being thinking more now.
Overthinking can be a killer, for sure.
Yeah.
I don't think you have anything to worry about. The waves don't look too crazy today, one. And two, I wouldn't put us in any harm's way, so I'm not going to go to try to do anything crazy. I'm still pretty new myself. This is my second year of surfing, so I still am fairly new. But we got an ambulance or a fire truck driving by and they're honking the horn.
They're just getting ready. So for when I surf later, they're just going to be there.
Clearing out a spot.
Yeah.
There is a lot of people that try surfing for the first time, I think, at this little Agate Beach because it's kind of cool. There's a windbreak from the Yaquinahead Lighthouse, that rock formation that goes out. So anytime the wind is blowing south, it kind of gives you a nice little safe windbreak area.
Okay.
And that makes for some good, decent waves. I like it, especially because there's that rip current that goes along the rocks.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started out, that really freaked me out because I thought rip current, right? You're warned about that. Like, don't let the rip current suck you out. But here, that rip current is actually like a free ride past the break to where then you can ride it out and then paddle in. And then now you're behind the break so you can catch those waves and get pushed in. And it took me legit like 30 times of surfing down there before I really felt comfortable enough to get close to the rock wall mm-hmm. and just take that out.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to do that at all. That's what scares me.
It is scary, but it's once you do it a couple times and you get a feel for the current of the water pushing you out and when the waves smash against the wall right kind of by you, that's freaky, right?
Sure.
You don't want to get in between the wall and that wave.
Yeah.
But there's something about the way the wall breaks that wave's power and kind of makes it so even though it splashes up against the wall, it looks really big and scary, the actual power of the wave is decreased so much right next to it after it hits
mm-hmm.
that you can get right over that and kind of go out. And it's not always like that, you know, if the waves are pushing into the rocks versus pushing a little bit south away from the rocks. There's definitely been times where I've looked at that way out and been like, nah, I'm good on that. And then tried, but dude, that's what it's all about. You know, the experience of getting out there and feeling the waves and just being in the ocean and the, in that environment, the like the rhythm of the waves and the, all that stuff, all of those are what makes the experience of surfing special.
Yeah.
Not just like getting up on the board, you know? It's like that there's so many things that the more you do it, the more you appreciate the process. And I love it, man. For me, it's been one of those things where as soon as I did it, I've wanted to do it for a long time. And then when I did it, I was like, okay, yep, this is this is what I thought it was going to be. And I knew it was going to be awesome. And it really is. And now the more I do it, the more you kind of start like to get artsy with it. Just like jiu-jitsu, right? You learn the fundamentals and then you kind of can start to push the limits a little bit and see what you're capable of and how the board can really maneuver when you try to, and then it becomes like extra fun. There's always, when you add difficulty to it, you know, by pushing, testing the limits, pushing it, that's when it becomes fun. And I think that happens in jiu-jitsu and surfing.
Right. Yeah. Cause it's, it'd be the equivalent of like, I just don't want to be stuck flat on my back today. So I'm going to do everything I can to not get stuck flat on my back today. It would be, I just want to not get pummeled by waves today. Yeah, dude, it's like the same kind of thing.
Your first month or 2 months as a white belt, trying to spar with people, you're just getting twisted just and smashed.
Right.
And I mean, when you first get a couple head over heels, nose dives.
Oh, that happened a few times. Man.
Dude, I mean, I still remember the first time I opened my eyes when it happened. Like I went face first over my board. I have a 9-foot board, so it's like this giant torpedo of death over my head. And it's weird. I think with jiu-jitsu helps having that like awareness of where you are. And so I remember being upside down, just churned, swirled around. I think I got rolled like 2 or 3 times. My board is somewhere over my head, but I'm upside down. And I just remember opening my eyes and like looking around and being like, wow, I'm upside down in the ocean. I just got churned up. This is freaking gnarly, man. But I've never had any problem. I'm knocking on wood here. People heard that. But it's worth it to say that I've never had any problem with like holding my breath or just having my composure while being churned upside down. It was always an awareness of, okay, now my board is over my head. I'm face down. I got to, you know, cover my head and just kind of just let the process roll out. And then once I'm on the other side of it, that's when I pop up. And man, it's scary, but it's really kind of exciting.
It's exhilarating.
It's exhilarating. You know, almost not really, but maybe almost dying, you know, like
it's close, man. I mean,
You're in a position you have no control. Nature is doing with you whatever it wants, and you just have to accept it because you have no choice. So when you're upside down and you're having to hold your breath and dang, dude, you just got swirled around, to be able to just appreciate the moment and be controlled enough to just accept it. Knowing that as long as you just keep yourself safe, you're going to be on the other side of it and then you can get back up. But I've had days where it's been like, boom, 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 big wave. So you come up and now smash, you're getting smashed with another wave. And now you come up and smash. And when I first started off that first maybe 2-3 months, the Corona summer, right? The illegal summer,
right?
When we're out being rebels and breathing fresh air on the beach.
Those,
I got my ass handed to me lots of times. And for the first, like inside the first maybe 10 or 15 surf sessions, there was a lot of puking up seawater, which is always fun too. You get a big gulp of it and it hits your guts and your guts are just like, get that shit out of you, bro. And it just, rah! You didn't get that yet?
No, what happened to me though is just like the full nasal cleanse
of
salt water. But what was wild is like all day after that,
breathing.
I just tasted salt water. I just felt like I felt like I ate like a big tub of super salty almonds or something. Like all day, it was just like residual salt taste and smell.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's worse things to have. Still.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was worth. You know what was the thing though? Is like I feel like it was worth it. But I was talking to Joey about this, and I was like, the reward would have to be getting good at surfing, because the reward of riding the wave in on your stomach isn't worth it when you suck, because the risk of getting pounded and pounded and pounded. My neck hurt absolutely, because I got like scorpioned hard, because I didn't realize, like, as I was looking out at the wave, it's different when you're on your stomach. Like the a 4 foot wave when you're on your stomach, that's 4 feet from you looking straight up from the ground.
Yeah.
I didn't realize, like, how big they are when you're right there. Because you look at it from the shore, you're like, it doesn't look
like anything. Oh, it's not bad, yeah.
Yeah, but then when you're out there on your stomach, laying down, looking up at 4 feet above your head, I remember I called out to Justin. I was like, don't want to duck or and then he said jump, and I just go boom and just get blasted, and the board like came off, luckily, to the side of me, and you just blast my beak. But he looks back, and I'm like spitting out water just coming down my face. And I was like, I thought you said duck. And then I like hopped up on my board and paddled out. I was exhausted though.
Yeah. For sure.
That kicked my ass hard.
For sure. It's a great shoulder workout.
Yeah.
And it's anti how we are in jiu-jitsu, right? We're always curled forward with that like grappling position. Mm-hmm. And this is you're pushing your head, or you're pushing your arms down in front of you, and you're bringing your head up. And you're paddling. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing, too, that's in the beginning, it takes somebody to tell you this, I think, unless you've really, like, studied or whatever. But as the wave is coming, to kind of push off your board, and that's going to help you catch the wave, too. And the front goes down, and the back kind of goes up, and then the wave comes, and it pushes you.
Mm-hmm.
So as you're paddling to, like, arch your chest forward and your head up, and that'll kind of help you catch the wave, too.
Like you're shooting for a takedown.
Yeah.
With your eyes what up. What is it? Chest
eyes
up,
chest out, and hips in.
Yeah.
For sure.
Something like that.
Yeah. We're lucky because Shelby was a great teacher for me for the COVID summer, mm-hmm. to get started. And the difficult part for me was always like paddling to get over, to catch the wave. There was too many times where the wave would go underneath me. And I have like a 9-foot surfboard.
Yeah.
So those things should catch a lot of waves.
Sure.
So still, I mean, it's only my second year, but it's still, it's nice to be able to catch the wave more consistently instead of having them roll underneath you. And part of that is just getting started. The extra 3 paddles that you need, chest up. And then to just try to find out the nice, perfect way to catch that wave.
Yeah.
It takes reps, just like anything else that we do.
Yeah, in my head that evening, I just kept hearing your voice going, paddle.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was exhausting.
Yeah.
I mean, that really was.
I'm glad, how lucky are we first to be able to have that right next to the gym?
Yeah, I mean,
if I put my wetsuit on and I run down to the beach, I could be in the water in less than 3 minutes.
Yeah, it's a quarter mile, not even.
Yeah.
It's less than once around a track.
Yeah.
Getting back up is the hard part.
Getting back up, it's all a hill.
When you're tired.
And if the wind's blowing and you're trying to carry your surfboard there, it's like you're... How did we not discover man-made flight earlier? Because if you ever try to carry a surfboard... Yeah. You know, and when the wind's blowing, that thing catches you.
Yeah.
And if you jump right into the wind, you might be able to get a little bit of a lift.
Yeah, you'd probably cover like 4 or 5 feet.
Maybe.
If you on one of these really like...
A big wind gust? Yeah. Yeah, it's a hard workout there if the wind's blowing to get your surfboard all the way back up.
There's a guy next to where I work that does one of those like paraglider things
really?
Or whatever it is. Yeah,
I want to do that. That's on my list.
I don't know where he jumps off of.
You can do it. Communication Tower up by the Quinnahead Lighthouse.
There. I bet you that's where you jump.
Yep. There's a spot right up there where people can run and just run right off the hill.
Yeah.
It's pretty sweet.
There's something about that, like oftentimes when I'm having a dream, I'll like just start lifting off the ground.
Nice.
And it's always a scary feeling. But like as I've gotten older, I swear it's like repping it in my head. I've gotten like able to harness it.
You kind of know what it would feel like to actually...
I think it's a good gauge on that, like, as being, like, lifted off the ground. But then I always look at, like, the people that like, kite surf.
Yeah.
And you look at that, and I'm always like, man, what if you really just got lifted, like, really high or, like, really, really far and fast? Because that wind is so unforgiving.
Sure.
And when you're playing with the elements, right? Like, what's like surfing.
Yeah.
When you're playing with the elements, is there anything that people do with fire particularly?
Like, fire dancing.
Yeah, that's the only thing I could think of.
Yeah, breathing it.
Yeah.
That's probably not a healthy, it's probably not a long-term career of fire breathing.
No.
You know, I just think that You're not just rolling the dice. Whatever the hell you're putting in your mouth to make it blow into fire, probably not good for you.
Not good for your teeth.
Yeah, or yeah.
Dr. Justin's probably like, you know how many fire breathing people I've had at my practice?
Back to the kite surfing, yeah. Or what is it?
I don't know what paragliding. Is it paragliding? No. Is that what it is?
Maybe something like that.
I don't know what makes it paragliding or gliding or wind sail. I don't really know what differentiates the two.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm talking about, right?
For sure. The guy was just the big thing. Yeah. The canopy over and he sits in it and he's just chilling.
Yeah.
Just floating around back and forth up the beach.
Yeah.
I want to do that. That's on my list. There's another one. It's like a paramotor. It's got it's like the same setup, kind of, but you've got a big fan behind you.
Okay.
And that fan just sends you. And wow. Yeah, that would be, that's like the next level up from that, because you're still getting up on the wind, mm-hmm. and like riding the wind currents and stuff, but you got the fan to propel you so you can actually cover some serious distance.
Yeah.
But versus the guy that's on the beach, I always see just kind of floating up and down.
Yeah.
I think that's step one, right? And then strapping the fan on your back is step
two. To get comfortable.
Yeah.
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 Right.
But I mean, dude, I'd be down to do that if we could ever get one of those things to go out there and just practice jumping on the beach. And that's where it would start, right? You just get on the beach.
Yeah.
And on a windy day, you just
try
to go out there.
That's the shit that scares me. Like, what if it took you straight away?
Well, I think you can steer.
Yeah.
Kind of.
But I mean, like,
it's not like you're going to get sucked up in a tornado and sent to, you know, the middle of the ocean.
Yeah.
Probably not. Maybe.
I hope not.
You know, but whatever.
That might be the scariest thing. I bet you that guy sees all sorts of awesome marine life.
Yeah, you get a really unique view.
Like, I mean, imagine seeing that, especially like this time of year where there's whales everywhere.
Yeah.
Just being able to, like, jump
float
around.
Float over the whales.
That's so cool.
But if you know, here's the thing, right? Like, you go out there, you're like, I'm going to get down a little bit lower to check out that pod of whales. And then all of a sudden the wind stops blowing, you just drop.
That's
you
terrifying.
Land on a whale, but you're like a mile out.
Yeah. Dude, that would be that's one of the worst nightmare scenarios ever. I have nightmares every now and again. That I'll be on like a small piece of wood or just something float that'll float, and then the water will just start rising. And then I can just feel moving things around me in the water. I don't know what they are.
Wow.
They're just like whales or sharks or whatever. It's not so much sharks. It's just things that are that big.
Yeah.
Sharks suck because they could attack you potentially.
Sure.
But a whale could also still attack you potentially.
I guess,
like, if
yeah.
a whale, like, bit your clothes because it was curious what you were and then dragged you down 200 feet.
Yeah.
That's
well, that means
entirely
you're out,
possible.
You're out swimming in 200-foot water.
Yeah.
So I would question what you're doing out there in the first...
But what if he took you out? Like,
oh, he grabbed you, like by your leg and, like, just took you out and down?
Yeah.
Then you died by a whale.
Yeah, which is unbelievable.
But if you're going to die, it might as well be by a whale dragging you down to the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah, that's the risk.
Because that's a way to go.
When we surf.
It's not. It isn't. That would be a lot more exhilarating if it was. If people around us are getting just... You just see them surfing and then you see a whale tail. And they get plucked and that's it.
Just gone.
Shit.
People collecting surfboards.
Billy got sucked up by a whale.
Yeah, Billy's always getting into trouble, man.
Dude, tough life, Billy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would change things a little bit. I mean, there's sharks and stuff, maybe not, I don't know how many are around here. The good thing is that you can't see too far down.
That's
that,
probably a plus.
Yeah, ignorance is bliss. Sometimes a seal will pop up.
Yeah.
Right? And like, then they'll like pop up and look right at you.
Yeah.
And you make eye contact with the seal. And I always wonder, like, what are you looking at, bro? Like, are you just looking at me? Or are you like popped up looking at me thinking that thing doesn't know that there's a monster underneath it right now? Why isn't it freaking out?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Or is it just looking at me like, oh, look at that monkey on the board floating along?
See, I was worried because whenever I was surfing my feet, I was so like spastic kind of in ways. Like when I was sitting there, I was like really like flapping my feet around a ton to just kind of like keep my balance.
Well, you're getting used to the right amount of energy.
Yeah.
Right? You want to be able to, just like surfing, just like jujitsu, energy requirement. If you're paddling, like crazily, mm-hmm. then you're going to burn your energy really fast, right? Yeah. And so when you're just starting out, maybe you don't have a ton of experience treading water, you're making unnecessary movements
yeah.
that are working against you because it's taking your energy bar down.
Mm-hmm.
In jiu-jitsu, same thing. You're a spazzy white belt. You're doing all this shit. You don't even right. need to be doing all that stuff. Just don't move and hold yeah. them there. And so conservation of energy comes with more reps. You get a better feel for the water. You get to learn how to kick your feet
yeah.
and maximize that movement to get you the most amount of like float.
What I was worried about in that spastic energy, though.
You sound like a dying seal or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
That something's going to be like, oh, something's really thrashing around yeah. over there because it's struggling to swim.
Clearly, the sound of that creature, he's injured.
Yeah.
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 I'm going to go investigate.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I was nervous about that a little bit. Because whenever we were... how deep do you think it is where we're immediately floating?
15 feet.
That's pretty deep, though.
I mean, when the tide goes out, we're 7 feet.
Okay. Okay, yeah.
You know, so we got to think. There's... You, at any day, between high and low tide, there's like a 7 to 10 foot swing. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it's 4 or 5 feet. Sometimes it's not that much. But this time of year, just got done with the big full moon... The tides were like -2 feet, +9 feet. So that's 11 foot swing.
Yeah.
You're out in the water, I mean, 11 foot difference, that's 100 yards of beach difference, mm-hmm. you know, or more. So one day you might be out surfing and you'll be in the same spot, you're 15-18 feet deep. The next day, you know, or 7 hours later, you're 8 feet deep.
Right.
You know, that's kind of crazy.
It's still, though, I mean, 7 feet still higher than, you know, like the elite of the elite basketball players still have their hair poking out. Like,
yeah.
That's still a lot. That's a lot of distance to the sea floor.
Sure.
Like,
but there's not going to be any great white sharks that are going to swim and explode straight up in the air like a National Geographic.
I hope you not.
If anything, they would just come up real fast and bite you. It's not like you're going to smash from below.
Like, I might just feel the initial surge of water coming at me, and then it just...
I wonder if you'd even feel anything, or it's just, like, getting hit. You just, boom, you just get smashed.
Yeah.
I'd like to think, like, my leg hairs that sense are in the water, which they're not. They're in my wetsuit. So my whole body's senses are dumbed down by a rubber layer. But I'd like to think maybe my mustache, the hairs on my mustache would stick up. Because I'd feel some water pressure change, and I just right before it hits, I'd like to hope that my body would go, oh shit, something's about to happen.
Yeah,
you know, but probably realistically, it was just smash and that's it.
Probably, I wonder if that would dampen Spider-Man's senses when he got the suit because he has the Spidey sense that's tingling.
Yeah.
So do you think that it dampened his senses when he put on that suit?
Interesting. Probably he didn't have like a 3/4 inch layer of plastic though, like rubber.
Yeah.
You know, he had like nylon, but stretchy nylon.
But he lived in New York. Like you lived in New York, that's like so cold. If you had that suit on and it was really cold, like he better not be fighting crime in the winter with that thin suit.
That's true.
Or does he have a higher spider metabolism that makes it so he can... No, wait, because if he were like a spider, he's fine because spiders can survive in anything, right?
No, I don't know. Can they?
They freeze, I think.
They freeze,
the big garden spiders out in Toledo.
Yeah.
And they die whenever it gets cold, and I always am just waiting for it to get cold because those things suck.
Yeah. I'm guessing that if he was as active as he actually was in the movies and the shows, right? He literally was out swinging around and doing all that shit. What they don't show is Spider-Man better be eating hella calories to support that level of movement.
Absolutely.
I mean, the calories are your fuel. And if he's not fueling his body, he's running on E.
He's a teenage boy, though, so I think it's implied that he eats a lot.
Interesting. I've never seen Spider-Man eat.
Really?
Have you?
I would like to say I have. I think we were reading a storybook with the kiddo and he was at lunch or something.
Dang it.
Yeah.
What was he having? Like 15,000 calorie some food?
I don't know. I'm sure it was a lot.
Interesting. We got sidetracked.
Can you imagine how boring of a comic that would be, though? Like, geez, Spider-Man.
Spider-Man catches up on lunch.
That's a lot of sandwiches, Spider-Man. Hey, Spidey, that's a lot of sandwiches.
So we're about to go surfing for your second time.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
I hope that I don't spaz. That's my big thing.
Spaz like how?
Really?
Yeah, spaz like what?
Oh, I think it's a spaz like hell. And I was like, yeah. Like, I guess that's
really
like, I don't, is that your advice?
Thanks, man. Well, what do you mean by spazzing? I mean, what do you,
I hope that I don't make a ton more mistakes and get blasted again, because my body hurt when
I got
hit.
Yeah, you probably
hit.
Will, bro. I mean, if the waves are good.
Dude, what's wild is, like, again, that little 4-foot wave and me standing there, like, just like, upright with, like, good posture on my board. And then, like, oh, shit. And then just having, just bang. One point, I was on my board upside down. Like, on, like, I was on the wrong side of the board. I was, like, looking around and shit. Like, I hope nobody sees this. And I, what sucked is I was out there. And I don't really know what surfing etiquette is, but I do know that you don't fuck with the locals. That's, like, the big deal, right?
We are the locals, but yeah.
I'm not. This is my first time. Like,
I'm a local.
I definitely grew up here, right? So I'm local as the area. Like, yeah. I'm local to the area. But I was out there, and everybody has, like, these really cool, like, these kind of boards. Like the hard body board.
Yeah.
And I have this like soft foamy board, yeah. And it's Rasta colors, and I don't even smoke. So I don't smoke and I don't surf, but I'm out there. And I was paddling out, and I, at one point, I just floated between two people. And I was maybe like 3 foot from this, a man on my right, and 3 foot from a woman on my left. And I'm out there, and they kind of both look at me almost in unison. It's like they knew. So I'm sitting out there, and I say, yeah, guys, if I'm in your way, I can move. They didn't say anything. Nothing to me. So I'm like, no, this is my first day. Nothing. My first hour. This is my first hour, I tell them. And the woman just turns back to me and goes, congratulations. And she just paddles away. And then almost as if, like, you heard my, like, you know, just like my awkwardness, you're clear over here, like 20 feet, and you go, bro, and you throw your hands up, and you're like, come on. So I, like, paddled over to you guys. I was like, yeah, I was just trying to hang out with the locals.
Yeah.
But I've heard tell that the surfing community is very, they can be kind of very welcoming.
Yeah, maybe. I'd probably more so in, like, big surfing spots.
Yeah.
You know, here, the locals here are mm-hmm. cool. It's like Aussie Surf Shop guys, you know?
Yeah.
It's like me and Shelby. You know, or like the Muth brothers or something. You know, there's like, and there's a lot of people that are local here that are, you know, active surfers. But in my experience, everybody's been pretty welcoming.
I think, though, that you look different than most people. Because when they see my big, dumb head come out there, it's not even big, but just my dumb grin. And then they see your ears, right? They're like, okay, I better at least be kind of cool to this guy because this guy's lived a life.
No, I disagree. I was the new guy. I still am kind of the new guy. It shows that you know, it takes time to learn some things. Those two people probably looked at your board and went, yeah, bro, you don't have to tell us you're new. We can tell by your awkward paddling, you know?
Yeah.
But it's nobody. The hard part is, in my experience, is knowing when to catch the wave and when to let somebody else catch it. So if somebody's out there, in front of you, and they've been sitting out there, and the wave is coming, for you to, if they're starting to get up on that wave, and for then you to get on the wave and, like, cross in front of them, or like, make them so they can't ride the wave, that's kind of shitty.
Yeah.
And that sucks. And so, I mean, that's happened. That happened to me and Justin. Like, we were out there, and all of a sudden, some new people come in, and they paddle out there, and then there's a whole beach, but they paddle right up next to where we are because we're where the wave is.
Yeah.
And then, boom, we've been sitting out there, and now here comes this wave, and we're about to get on it, and the person jumps on it, and then they get in front, and then they ride, and now we can't ride it, and we've just been sitting out there.
Yeah.
Kind of annoying. But here's the thing that I always remind myself, and having the fight training kind of keeps me chill when it comes to this kind of stuff. At the end of the day, there's going to be another wave. Because they usually come in sets.
Mm-hmm.
So if you catch that first one, then you're out of the way for the second one. And the second one is usually better than the first one anyway.
Okay.
Right? And if there's usually coming like 3 or 4. So, but if you ride the first or second one and you can paddle out, you might still be able to get like the last wave in that set. So the goal is to ride like 2 or 3 times in one set, depending on how fast and consistent the waves are coming
wow.
in. Yeah. But it helps to be able to go along the rocks and get that free ride out.
Yeah, see, that would be current. Nice, because I can't see just the exhaustion. Like,
Pat, I hear you, bro. Man. I hear you. Trying to smash through those waves, especially when the big ones are coming in the set, to try to break through those sets as the waves are coming to get past them to catch the wave.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard. And then so duck diving through the wave.
I did that once successfully, and then every other time I just got blasted.
Yeah, and I mean, that's probably the easiest way to, like, penetrate through the wave so it doesn't push you back, so you're not losing ground as you're trying to make your way out there. That's one way to do it. Pushing down and kind of letting the wave go in between you and the board, too, is another way that you can try to, like, what you're trying to do is create less resistance against the wave, because you versus the wave is always going to push the shit out of you, right? Mm-hmm. So if you can kind of pierce it, then you're going to come out the other side, and then you'll be able to get a little bit further.
Yeah.
It's fun, man. That's the experience. The better swimmer you are, the better control of your board you have. Just all of that makes your energy conservation a little bit better.
Yeah.
Which then gives you more energy to ride more waves.
Right.
And so just like a white belt, you're starting out, you're just getting smashed by the waves. You're burning all your energy, not necessarily being an efficient swimmer, mm-hmm. right? Kind of the awkward paddle. Your breathing isn't dialed in. You're maybe doing shallow chest breaths.
Yeah.
Instead of those deep belly diaphragm in through your nose breaths that we like to practice.
Yeah.
So, all of those things that we do in jiu-jitsu will make you a better surfer.
I feel like already I was using a lot of that. Just out there, you know, like I feel like a lot of it was just bracing for impact.
Yeah.
Not just getting completely like punked.
Yeah.
Even though I'm sure I'm going to get punked 1,000 times by the water.
That's part of it.
I mean, it's part of it.
Makes you appreciate the whole thing even more.
Yeah. But it's like, getting tumbled and whatnot. And I think it was just spatial awareness, being able to be upside down and inverted and all that stuff and not just feel like so out of my element, even though I'm very much out of my element surfing.
But it's getting comfortable with being uncomfortable, just like jiu-jitsu.
Mm-hmm.
So the most uncomfortable part of surfing is going to be getting chewed up in the waves, right? Probably, you know, hopefully. I can't imagine. The other thing would be like boredom, would be sitting out there balancing on your board.
I
enjoy that too. And so you have to enjoy the process. Because if there's any part of surfing you don't enjoy, then you're not going to be passionate enough about it to really get good at it.
Right.
Just like jiu-jitsu, most people don't enjoy getting choked, but if you do enjoy the process of learning how to defend getting choked, then you're going to have a lot more fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be a little bit weird.
Right.
You got to be a little bit weird to be a surfer.
Yeah.
To have your shoulders burning and to get chewed up and get put in like the nature's washing machine.
Yeah.
And then, you know, puke up some water and pop up and take a big gulp of air and go, holy shit, that was crazy. I'm going to go paddle back towards that thing.
Yeah.
Again. You know, you got to be a little bit weird.
Yeah. You got to be nuts.
Why surfers and jiu-jitsu people are a lot of the time the same people,
mm-hmm.
right? It's how lucky are we to be able to have in beautiful Newport, Oregon, surfing and jiu-jitsu within a half a mile from each other.
Yeah.
You know, and like, dude, how good is life?
Yeah.
We get to do jiu-jitsu. We're podcasting. We're surfing. You know, we're healthy. We're strong. We have beautiful families.
Yeah.
Life's freaking good, bro.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good feeling waking up every morning. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice. Very, very grateful. Very fortunate. That's one of the things we went to that seminar, Mindset Mike seminar for Mindset Wrestling.
Yeah, in Bender Springfield, that 10th Planet Springfield.
Yeah.
How did that go?
We went out there, and that was one of his big. It was good. It was really ran out really well. But what Mindset Mike said, one of the things is, again, I'm not gonna spout all the things he said because it's obviously like his tips and tricks and things that he's figured out. And obviously, I paid to go to this seminar.
Yeah,
to
but
not
what
tell
what
everybody.
Clicked with you?
Well, what was nice is his gratitude attitude would be like,
that's just fun to say.
Here's the thing. He didn't say that. I accidentally just said that, and I didn't mean to say that.
Gratitude attitude. That's how your attitude should be filled with gratitude every day.
I don't like shit that rhymes that much.
Really?
That's why I don't like rap.
Oh.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. You're a rap guy.
No, I'm not a rap. I mean, I'm an equally anything guy.
Yeah.
If I had to pick one, it would be country or classical music.
Okay.
Because that's just less words, the better at this point.
Yeah.
Most of pop is just trash and
it's
rap
bad.
Is garbage. I mean, it's clearly the reason why our future generations are in trouble.
Yeah.
And it started with my generation. You know, like the shit that we listen to.
Yeah.
Bro, I have a stack of CDs in the back of my car, and I would be absolutely... I couldn't shut it off fast enough if my daughter put in some West Side Connection.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Or some E-40 in a major way.
That music sucks.
It's the worst. And now, as an adult, I plug that shit in at 38 years old, and I go, wow, I'm lucky I'm not fucking retarded from listening to that stuff at the age of 13 to 15, 16.
Yeah.
And there's so many people who, like, who I mean, we're an impressionable, you're an impressionable kid. And the music that you take in influences who you are. Thank God I was not influenced by the shit that I was listening to. I don't think I was. Yeah. I think already by then I was just doing it to try to be cool or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine I ever really enjoyed it because it's so bad.
Right. I think the only thing I could think that it influenced you just a little bit.
Yeah.
Right. Is the Thug Life tattoo on your back.
Ah, hey. on my lower back, too.
On your lower back, Thug Life. But, so anyhow, he talks about Mindset Mike.
Yeah, we got this, sorry.
No, that was good. I like those kind of tangents. That's fun. But, so he talked about just being grateful for everything, opposed to feeling obligated for everything. Because you can still train full-time, but saying that I have to go and train, I have to go and compete, I have to go and do this, then that's an obligation. It sure feels like an obligation. But instead of saying, I get to go train, I get to go compete. And that was just a nice thing to click. Is he's just like, you look at the top athletes. And this guy's coached 9 national champions, 100 and something state placers in wrestling. Like, the dude's no joke. He wrestled 3 years, Division I. I don't remember what the school was because I'm... There was a lot.
Penn State or something?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
No, it was somewhere in New York.
Okay.
But he said that New York is like one of the best wrestling states.
Okay.
But at any rate, he's talking about, you know, these type of things. And there's a lot to absorb.
Yeah.
I liked that whole gratitude thing.
Yeah, sure, 100% agree.
On the way home, right? So the seminar goes until 10:30 p.m. And we had 2.5 hours to get back home, right? Because I had to take Bender all the way to Waltport. And we're driving back. So I call Danny and I'm like, hey, you know, we got to, you know, the seminar ran a little bit late, really kind of late. We thought it was going to get over like 8. I thought I was going to be home about 10:30. So I said, yeah, we have to drive, 2.5 hours. I'll be home probably around 1. And Bender hits my arm and goes, hey, you get to drive 2.5 hours. Not like you.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Man? Yeah.
Did that help your mindset? I mean, that's kind of nice. You guys had a little bit of time to recap the seminar, maybe, and talk about like what you took into it for yourself.
Yeah, and obviously just talking, you know, like we always do. We're always just, you know, laughing and talking a gang of shit.
Yeah,
you know,
because you guys didn't spend the whole 2.5 hours back home reviewing the mindset.
No, one of the things that's funny is so Mike was an FBI agent, like a big FBI guy. Like,
wow.
Yeah, I don't know, he's like an interrogator or whatever, nothing like that. I forget, what do you call the people that question people? Is it an interrogator?
Yeah, I think so.
But isn't that somebody that, like, hurts people in the process?
I mean, you might waterboard them a little to get them to talk.
He seems like the type.
Yeah.
But I feel like he would just wrestle them.
Yeah.
Like, because, wow. But, yeah, so we were coming back, and Bender and I laughed so hard because we said, yeah, he's an FBI agent. I couldn't even get it out of my mouth. I said, yeah, that stands for female body inspector. And we both started dying because you remember those stupid shirts?
I do remember those shirts, yeah.
And we were just riffing on this stupid concept that he was a female body inspector, that guy.
That's funny.
Yeah. Old school jokes.
Did you ever wear one of those shirts?
No, dude.
No,
I grew up in a house where I wouldn't have probably been allowed to wear that.
Yeah, for sure. You know? I would never have been allowed to wear that.
Yeah, female body inspector.
Yeah, I wore a shirt one time. Listen to this. This is ridiculous, mm-hmm. right? This is some icing on the top of me hating school.
Okay.
I wore a shirt that said, vacuums suck. And it had a vacuum on it.
I appreciate the pun.
I had to turn it inside out.
Really?
Because it had the word suck on it.
Wow.
I couldn't wear a shirt with a vacuum on it, a vacuum cleaner, and it said vacuums suck. Turn it out. Turn it inside out.
Yeah.
Are you serious? Okay. So now I'm like, dude, They wanted me to be, like, in trouble all the time. Yeah. Like, I swear to God. I did things, obviously, to push the limits a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I had to deal with shit, like, I couldn't wear a shirt that said vacuum suck.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, and I'm everybody knows everybody. I'm from a small town. So, like, I'm sure I actually went home and got grounded or something from wearing a shirt that said vacuum suck.
Yeah.
Bro, crazy.
Yeah. How did you get the shirt?
You know, I don't, my grandma bought it. I have no idea.
I was about to say, you had to acquire the shirt some, like,
yeah,
some
well,
way.
My parents are split up, and, okay. My grandma on one side, she would buy me, stuff, like, growing up, right? Okay. And so she would, if I wanted to go clothes shopping or something, she would bring me, because my dad wasn't buying me any school clothes, yeah. Right? And then my other side of the family, there's four other kids in the family. So, you know, I got it how I got it. I don't know. Yeah. I don't recall. But I always had a job. You know, I always worked growing up. For sure had, before I was old enough to have a job, I mean, we got pimped out to mow the lawns of our grandmas and aunts and uncles. And I remember, you know, going and taking out my great-grandma Ev's garbage and her paying me like a 50-cent piece.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like a nice 50-cent piece.
Dude, yeah. I mean, the year was 1989.
Wow.
Maybe. 90, dang. Maybe 91, 92.
You're probably back out there the push mower.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure it was a push mower, bro. I wouldn't have even been allowed to drive the rider mower, right? Because I would have also flipped it somehow.
Yeah. I've gotten real dicey on a riding mower before. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Especially mowing those hills, you know, trying to go sideways on a hill is never a good idea. That's what I would have done.
Dude, it's terrifying. I used to mow this lawn next to a river. And it was like a pretty good drop to the river, and I was trying to get the edge of the yard because if I didn't get it with the riding mower, I'd just take the push mower over.
Yeah.
And that's a bitch, like having to go down the hill, then sure. Back up the hill, down the hill. So I would try to get it as close as I could, man. And I had that baby on two wheels. So I was like, and I was like leaning my body weight this way, knowing that like if I fall, there's a good chance I die.
Yeah.
Because that blade isn't just gonna stop.
No, no way.
When we go tumbling down.
Yeah.
I mean, if that thing flips upside down and I'm on the wrong side.
Yeah.
It'd be rough.
That's a scary one.
I could end up like John Jock real quick. Come on, dude. He's the best of all time, dude. I hope, dude, if he's listening to this, I hope he appreciates that. Underhooks.
Yeah, so having a job was always part of my life, even in high school, man. I played high school sports, and I worked at Blimpie's Subs. Do you know Blimpie's?
No.
Yeah, it's like a Subway, but it's a different one.
It's like the knockoff Subway.
It's like a different, I'd say it's superior, to be honest.
No kidding.
Yeah, because we used to cut our own meat.
Oh, that's, you know? Nice.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I'm a high schooler, right? And like you got to make a free sandwich at work when you were working.
Yeah.
So you could make, dude, I would go hard on the roast beef.
That's nice.
And you get just these big slabs of meat, and you get to slice your own.
Yeah.
So I would push that sucker down, and my meat slices would be a half an inch thick.
You have like steak.
Dude, I would for sure. I would have a 15 pounds of meat stacked on top of some cheese and some horseradish.
Oh, dude, I love me some nice horseradish. Yeah. You kidding me? I think Subway's, their original thing was they're the poor man's Blimpies, right?
Maybe. I don't know.
Do you know that as far as fast food goes, did you know there's more, the most fast food restaurant in the world is Subway?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's I feel like that's a better option than a lot of other places.
More than McDonald's?
More than McDonald's.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that wild?
Are you sure about that?
I mean, I heard it on another podcast, so I hope that they weren't lying, so that they were like, hey, somebody else is going to say this on their podcast.
Oh, I never gave you the proper, apparently it is faw.
Oh, it's pho. It's not pho, dude.
Whatever
don't,
it is.
Don't make it also wrong again.
It's not pho. It's pho, or however you say it.
Just, why do you not just admit that?
How do you say it?
Pho.
Pho.
It's like you're about to say the F-bomb, and then...
Holy pho.
Holy pho. If you would have had that on a shirt, oh.
Yeah, that would have been illegal.
You flip it inside out, and you just have the word damn written on there. So it's like, okay, all right. You get to take one of the Lost and Found shirts. Yeah. I had to take a pair of Lost and Found tan sweatpants when I was in gym class. I think it was like a second or third grade. I had to pee so bad. And the teacher was like really, really loud. Like really loud. And it was always kind of just like, he was like an intimidating, like get in your face and yell type guy at gym. Like the type of guy that tucks his t-shirt into his sweatpants for no reason. Like you didn't have to.
Dude, I do that sometimes. Yeah,
I know, but I do too.
If you own a gym... or you're part of a gym process,
yeah.
It's tucking your shirt into your sweatpants is actually part of that.
I do that. I talk them in. Yeah. Like whenever we're grappling, I tuck it in. Boot camp, I tuck it in.
Sure.
But when you're teaching kids how to run laps, you tuck it out. You know what I mean? You don't have to tuck it in. You don't have to go the extra mile. You're not impressing anybody.
Polo shirt with the collar tucked into wind pants. Yeah, that's how I roll.
That's it, right? So he's yelling at us. He would yell at us like crazy. I said, I have to pee. Like I have to go to the bathroom. And I was a pretty shy little kid.
Yeah.
You know, but he was like, no, you don't have to. You don't have to. Wow. Like, wait. I peed my pants. Peed my pants bad. Yeah. And I was so embarrassed. And it was even more embarrassing that I had to go down to the office and get a pair of, tan sweatpants. Like, that sucks. I was like, man, that didn't even go with my outfit. I was wearing a tan shirt. No, I wasn't. I looked like a prisoner. They were like, you're also going to have to wear these Crocs around. I was like, wait, why do I look like I'm actually in jail? This sucks. I'd eat lunch with a rubber fork.
Oh, God. That guy would get fired for that now.
For screaming. But,
not screaming. For not letting a kid go to the bathroom until the kid
pees. Well, he also wouldn't let another kid, William. There's a kid, William, and he wouldn't let him take his inhaler.
Wow.
And when he did take his inhaler, he would tease him about it. He would call him Puffer. He'd be like, what's up, Puffer?
Oh, God.
Puffer. And I'm sitting there with my asthma, like,
I don't want to be
like, please, like, I don't want to be this guy. But every now and again, I'd be like, hey, William, let's get a hit off that thing, huh? Yeah, because I'm dying running laps.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, Puffer.
Yeah.
That's hilarious and probably traumatic for the poor kid.
Oh, yeah. He turned out to be a piece of work. He was the first kid that I ever saw have weed. You're in seventh grade.
Yeah, he's like, you're calling me Puffer.
Yeah.
I'm going to get some of the dope.
I couldn't believe it. He had a medicine tube in seventh grade that had, like, weed in it.
Well.
Yeah, and I remember how it smelled.
I didn't have any really, like, drug experiences until, I think, seeing weed that I ever can remember until the summer before freshman year of high school. Okay. I remember that's when I saw weed being done for the first time.
Weed being done.
Yeah, I know.
Like, you've never done any weed.
Well, I didn't know. I was always taught dare, you know, to resist drugs and violence or whatever. And, gosh, you know, in dare, they always teach you that people are going to be trying to give you free drugs.
Yeah.
And don't ever take them. Where are these free drug dealers at?
Yeah.
Because I've never seen them. Probably in Portland, giving away heroin and crack.
I don't know if they're giving that away for free.
I mean, first one's probably free. How else are you going to know how awesome it is?
It's like whenever you try to get somebody to sign up for the gym. You're like, hey, try first class for free.
Yeah, that is the nice drug dealer. I'm trying to sell you endorphins.
Yeah.
You like know, the good chemicals from your brain.
A drug dealer that lives in a double wide, not a tent.
Classy.
Yeah, man. Come on now.
I never didn't respect drug dealers more than I do now as a 38-year-old father of two, business owner, to see the way that drugs have actually affect a community.
Okay.
And the communities around me. You know, you go into the valley, man, it's freaking rough.
Yeah.
And I can't help but consider the fact that there's a direct correlation between the increase in crime and the increase in homelessness. And at the same time, the decrease in criminalizing drugs, right? Like, drugs are in Oregon are pretty much, you can do all the drugs.
I think that passes here, maybe this month or next month.
Oh, okay.
That officially passes.
That drugs are decriminalized.
Yeah.
Now, there have been a lot of parts of my life where I would have said, that's awesome. I'm going to probably go try this drug.
Sure. Yeah.
And I don't know if that would have been good for me in my life, you know?
I think it would have been detrimental.
Maybe,
I would probably say so.
I mean, if somebody walked up to me and was like, here's heroin, try it.
Yeah.
I don't know I would have ever said yes.
I don't think I would.
Yeah. Meth, you know, none of that shit. Like, weed, I would have tried it. Pills, none of that stuff. Like, I'd never, luckily, growing up in the woods, I didn't even see all these drugs that people are addicted to. Like, I've never saw any of the hard drugs growing up. I never saw cocaine or anything like that until I was an adult and experiencing life, you know, like outside of where I was from.
Yeah.
And seeing, you know, now the way that there's so much homelessness, so much crime, and like you go into Portland and the odds of you finding a needle on the ground are pretty good.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't walk around in Portland in sandals, let's put it that way.
Yeah, which that's terrible, man. Portland was a beautiful city 10 years ago.
It was.
And Eugene you know, maybe 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Because I was there 10 years ago. It started to slip, this slow descent. And now it's, now, literally, man, those places are, I try to not go there at all.
Yeah.
If I don't have to.
Right.
You know, I would go to my brother, my jiu-jitsu gyms, right? 10th Planet Springfield, 10th Planet Portland.
Yep.
If it's not for jiu-jitsu shit, I don't have any reason to go up there other than, like, to go to the VA or something.
Yeah.
You know? Costco, maybe. Mm-hmm. You got me for Costco. But I'm out of that town as fast as I get into it.
We went to Portland up to stay at a hotel. We got, like, a free hotel stay. We won it through work, through a pumpkin carving contest.
Yeah, I voted for your pumpkins. They were great. Nice.
Thank you, man.
Yep.
But, yeah, we painted ours. Little pro tip. But we went up there, and we stayed at, like, a nice hotel, but it was in the middle of downtown Portland. There was, like, a gated area that you put your cars in. So in order to get down there as somebody that would, you know, want to, like, break into a car, you had to walk through their parking lot, then down, like, a level to get into this gated-in area. Even parking there, I told Danny the night before, I was like, I don't know, I'm just kind of, like, worried. Like, I'm worried that somebody's going to break into the car.
Yeah.
No shit, the car in front of us, we went down the next morning, had its back window smashed out, and it was, all the shit was taken out, or whatever you could see. I mean, I don't know what was in there.
Yeah.
But everything, I imagine, that was valuable was taken out of that car, broken through the back window. I'm so glad we didn't take my car.
Yeah.
Because I have a stupid speaker box in the back of my car. Yeah. Guarantee they would have broken to mine.
For sure.
That sucks.
Dude, does it make me a bad person that I want to go up there and set a trap? I want to go up there with a nice car,
yeah,
bro. Like, I want, let's take your beautiful bright red car that stands out from a mile away. I would see that and want to break into it if I was a crackhead.
Yeah.
Right? Just the color red. I see that driving by.
I know. That's what
it looks like
about.
You got some shit in there.
Yep.
Right? Anybody that's flashing up.
Yeah, tinted windows and shit.
Oh, tinted windows with a red car. You know, you can probably hear your speaker bumping as you're driving.
I turn my subs down when I go into the city.
I bet. Yeah. I bet. So we use your car as the bait car.
Okay.
Right? And then, I don't know. I don't know what we do from there. I haven't really thought it out.
Let's not let it get too far.
Well, no. I mean, I guess. Yeah, we're like sitting there waiting for, and 25 people come along. Yeah. And we're like, shit, we got to just let them strip your car down in front of us.
Like, three of those guys have guns that are visible. We don't know how many.
Oh. Yeah. Do you think a lot of those people up there have guns on them?
Ooh, I don't know. Maybe. I mean, I feel like there's a lot of unregulated guns, so probably.
I mean, there is a flying high homicide rate. I think it's up like 800%.
800%?
Yeah.
That's a lot of percent.
Yeah.
Wow. That's like AMC stock.
Hey! All right,
everybody, we'll drop it in every episode until it hits the moon. All right.
Portland is a lost city. Eugene is a lost city, too.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing the cities in between, Salem and Corvallis, they're looking rough,
Salem's
too.
Salem's rough, dude.
Salem is rough, capital of our beautiful state.
Yeah.
And, we've let it, and now I see Bend. Poor old Bend. Beautiful.
Bend is going down?
Dude, Bend is going down. Yeah. Any of these cities.
Man.
How long until they start coming out here?
I don't know, man.
And then what? Then now I have to be, you know, all of the hard work for me to build my business up through all this bullshit.
Yeah.
Now we have to accept crackheads building a tent city right in the fucking gully next to my business.
Yeah.
Not happening.
What I feel like, though, that's going to keep people away from here is that the weather, right?
Yep.
The elements are rough and there's not enough places to steal from. Let's be honest. You just call it like you see it.
There's a lot of like summer homes though.
And the people that work at like the Walmart and Fred Meyers and stuff, if they see shit starting to get stolen, I mean, people are going to start going down quick. Right?
Yeah, I'd like to think so. I don't know.
I mean, I haven't seen it grow a lot here.
Yeah.
But also,
look at how fast it happened though. Look at, you know, it takes a year.
Yeah.
A year of like, oh no. We have to respect everybody. How dare you, you know?
Yeah.
How dare you not let this person shit on your porch and steal your fucking grill?
Yeah.
You know? Sorry. Sorry if you don't like that.
Yeah.
But this is Oregon, so we let everything. That's a terrible attitude. And that attitude is going to allow it to grow and perpetuate. And now, then it's going to become too big of a problem to deal with. And that's what I think you're seeing in Portland and Eugene and Salem.
Yeah.
And you're seeing this problem that through people who want other people to give their shit away to other people, because that's unfortunately, in my opinion, is what's happening, is you get Now, not only do you get everything handed to you for free, but it's a open market for any drug you want. And so we don't penalize criminals for burning and looting or trespassing or polluting or drugs. What's going to happen? I know if I was a traveling freaking crackhead, Oregon, and that would look pretty good to me. Why yeah. wouldn't you? Because you get everything handed to you. Well, that's a slippery slope, man. And as a family man and a business owner and a proud resident of Oregon, dude, it's a kind of a frustrating thing for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you have more ties to it than almost anybody I know, really.
Well, there's a lot of business owners out there. I would imagine every business owner. It's not even protecting my turf. How can I run a business if the community that I'm in is being disrupted by pollution and by crime and drug, you know? Like, all of those things suck the life out of a community.
Right.
And unless you want to live in a dilapidated tent city, then that's not for you. So, gosh, man, it's we've seen so much negative things happen in the last year. And the results now are something that's almost too big to deal with.
Yeah.
How do we deal with it now?
Yeah, I don't know, man. You know, I mean, I don't know. I really don't know.
I don't either. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd see that. It's got to be... You know, it doesn't matter what side of the political spectrum you are. If you're a conservative, it does matter. So I don't even know why I said it doesn't matter. It does matter. It matters because it affects all of us negatively. Our tax dollars go towards cleaning up pollution, cleaning up needles, fixing spray paint and broken stuff. And then individually, our businesses. And then like when your businesses are affected... Dude, that's your whole livelihoods are affected. And then that means my livelihood is affected. I'm not participating in the community as a business, as a successful business owner. I don't have money to spend on other businesses. So then nobody's spending money. And then that the community just spirals down.
Right.
And man, we've got sort of a really unique community here in Newport. It's a fishing community. Mm-hmm. It's a tourist town. But there's still like the actual... citizens of Newport that make up the city, you know, and surrounding areas. And man, it can happen fast, I think, to be able to lose what we have here. And I love this little fishing village vibe, you know.
Yeah, it's cool.
And I love the tourist vibe too. But
that's okay.
It's all right. It's all right. It's good for businesses that depend on tourism. Yeah. You know, and if you look at it from like an economical perspective, like the businesses that are making money from tourism, they're also consuming the fishing industry too, mm-hmm. and these other industries that are making money. Everybody wins from tourism.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter what job you have. If you have a job, that job is helping is affected by tourism.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, everything gets boosted because so, there's more. Yeah,
I guess more traction. You might if you don't have a job, and you just get free shit.
Mm-hmm.
Then none of this stuff probably matters to you, right?
Yeah.
I would imagine though that's you true. Should have aspirations to try to succeed.
You
and that's
hope.
But not everybody does, man.
Here's how I think we solve it. Okay, ready?
Yes.
We get mass produced poison drugs and we distribute them.
Wow.
Think about it. Think about it.
I mean,
it's shitty, but hey. Wow. Look. And also I have to say this before I miss. Salem, more like state capital, am I right?
Hey.
I had to say it.
Okay, my problem is with poison drugs.
Yes.
There was a time in my life where I may have tried a drug for the first time.
Tough shit.
Well, here's like,
that's
here's,
how it goes, man.
Yeah, maybe.
If you want to use meth and you want to risk and roll the dice on using meth, you might be kind of a wild card. Maybe we don't need
you around. And I don't disagree with you. And I've never tried meth, for the record, or any of these hard drugs. But
I've never tried meth.
Never tried meth.
Yeah, and same,
yeah. But I guess to poison the drug supply...
Mm-hmm.
What if somebody tries it one time and they, you know, whatever, and they died from that? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. Poison drugs doesn't
don't
sound like
think.
A terrible
don't
idea.
Make you think, dude. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Shoot.
I mean, as long as, because the thing, you know, the thing is that I've known people that have dabbled in harder drugs.
Yes.
you know?
Many.
Yeah, many people. Yep. They're functional people.
Good people.
They still work and all that type of stuff.
Yep.
But it's like that the problem that we have at hand right now didn't exist back when they were trying those drugs. So if you're going to try those drugs now, knowing that there's already these pre-existing problems, you maybe deserve to get bit in the ass with a little death.
Oh, gosh. Well, that's a harsh solution. Yeah. I don't know what the answer is. Jail doesn't work.
Nope.
You know, what do you, how do you penalize somebody that doesn't care about anything? You know,
you
even
take
themselves.
Them out of the picture.
Even themselves.
Yeah. That's a hell of a way to wrap up the podcast.
Wow. This has been the happiest podcast ever. But there's a lot of problems, and highlighting those problems, that's the reality of the world that we live in. And, we're lucky we got a lot of good things, but there's a lot of problems out there too.
Couldn't agree more.
All right, Gabe, this is it.
We got it.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.